We'll head back to your calls very shortly on the open line, thanks to Werribee Kia. They're open for business at Werribee Kia. You have to give them a call or jump on the website. And if you give them a call, you'll chat to Janan or Aid and the team. You can check out their stock online, and they'll be able to bring one to your door. Great to have you with me all afternoon. Great to have you with me for Midday Madness. We'll go back to your calls very shortly. But great to have Frank Panisi with me, Melbourne Storm Football Director, who joins me pretty much in a regular spot. Frank, welcome back. Great to have you back on the program. The listeners love having you on, so thanks again.
My pleasure, Dwayne. Great to be on.
And we don't do enough Melbourne Storm, according to quite a few of them. And you're in the firing line again this season. In fact, you've got arguably the biggest game of the year coming up tomorrow night. So it only gets bigger from here.
Yeah, playing the Roosters, the reigning back-to-back premiers, and still the team to beat without any doubt, a shadow of a doubt. We're down a few troops, so it's going to be a great test of our depth, especially without the two Camerons not playing, Cameron Munster and Cameron Smith. We're, you know, arguably our two best players, or certainly our two playmakers. So it's an actually exciting challenge. I mean, you'd rather play with them, but it gives us an opportunity to see how we go without them.
Still a big blockbuster, though. But you guys and they have been in, what, recent grand finals, I think three of the last, or maybe all of the last four. So it's a couple of big gun teams. You'll have a big TV audience around Australia.
Yeah, we've really built up a fantastic rivalry with the Roosters over the last 4 or 5 years. And I think between, someone was telling me yesterday, between the Roosters and ourselves, we've won the last 7 minor premierships between us. And But the actual head-to-head games, I think 3 or 4 of the games have gone to Golden Point over the last 4 years. You know, been separated by a late field goal like it was this year, and there's been other games with a late try. And there's always some type of drama that comes with the two teams playing. So we love playing against the Roosters. I'm sure they're the same. We, you know, there's a fierce rivalry, but a high level of respect.
So can you deliver again like you did, when was it round 8, 27-25 last time you met?
Yeah, it was actually was just when we first moved up here to Twin Waters. I think it was a week into our relocation, so it does seem like a long time ago. And I mean, that just wasn't an exciting finish. It was just a high quality game. So I mean, if it gets anywhere near that in terms of the quality of the game, it's going to be a great game for everyone to watch. But no, we just seem to bring out the best in each other, Dwayne. So I see tomorrow night being no different.
And you get a couple of players back, though, even though you lose a couple, you do get a couple of reasonable players back, as they do, I understand.
Yeah, but both the same. I think the two ins for us, which is really important, are Ryan Pappenhausen, our fullback, who kicked that great field goal to take us into Golden Point last time, and who's been in outstanding form, and Dale Finucan, one of our vice-captains and one of our leaders. So those two players are big ins for us. So, yeah, whilst we don't have the two Camerons, certainly get those two players that are going to give us a good opportunity, you know, to play our best tomorrow night.
So how are you guys going with injury management? You delivered against the Bulldogs fairly easily, 41-10. Are you in a position where you can start resting players? Is that too dangerous to do?
No, well, we did a little bit last week, as you said, Dwayne, and we've liked it a little bit more. Got a big block of games coming over the next month. We play the Roosters, who are fourth, and then the week after we play Parramatta, who are third just behind us, both away in Sydney. We've got Manly up here, and then we've got South, who are another top 8 side. So we've got some big games. So if we can get through these next 4 games fairly unscathed, and you know, we can continue our momentum, we'll certainly be looking resting some players come September. But it really depends on how we go the next 4 weeks.
Didn't get to get you on to ask you about the Brisbane Broncos, but there's yet another investigation, and I think we're going to probably have to get used to investigation after investigation. In fact, there was one today that Sam clarified it for us earlier today, Sam Edmund, on Nathan Buckley. But yeah, there's another one involving the Brisbane Broncos this time.
Yeah, disappointing, isn't it, Dwayne? I mean, obviously, look, everyone understands it's incredibly challenging, you know, to be in a bubble and being restricted. But at the same time, everyone knows the rules. There's no confusion. I've heard some people say they're confusing. They're not confusing. I just think people get, I don't think they're deliberate either. I just think that people get complacent. I think, you know, especially up here too, in a state like Queensland, where it's nothing like back home in Melbourne. But look, rules are rules, and we're all under the same banner, so there's no one's been treated any differently. So it's just disappointing when people just break those protocols and puts all of us under pressure. It's just not their own club. It puts our whole competition and in our case for all the Queensland-based teams, which we are one at the moment, our exemption by the government is to allow us to go into New South Wales and play based on us following those protocols religiously. So it is disappointing, and we just hope that they stay at a minimum or zero, more importantly.
So how much of a surprise was Wayne Bennett's move? And was it, what was his really, what was his excuse in the end?
Well, I can't really defend him in terms of his excuse. I mean, he did come out and say that they're confusing. Look, there are some things about protocol that are confusing because they can change and they can change rapidly. But that particular one, it was a pretty black and white one, as I said. And I just think people get complacent, I think, and they think, well, they're not going to, it's not going to affect them, but it does, it's important that we just, whether we agree with certain protocols or not, that's what we signed up for, and it's, there's no excuse. So, but to answer your question, it was a huge shock. I mean, a person and in the game of his status, and he was actually on the Apollo group initially, so he well and truly knows all the rules. So, it just puts his club under pressure and puts the whole game under pressure. But I must commend the NRL. They acted swiftly. He was given a 14-day breach notice where he had to stay away from training and playing, and also copped a $20,000 fine, which I believe he's had to pay himself rather than the club. So I think the NRL have handled all those breaches really well, really swiftly, which is important, and really drawn a line in the sand for everyone else in the competition.
Wouldn't be too many big-name, well-known, high-paid sports stars that don't get the occasional attack on social media that they think is over the line. How do your guys handle it?
Yeah, look, I know Ryan Papenhuyzen came out. I think you're probably referring to the some of the death threats. Yeah, look, yeah. It was actually to me by surprise, to be honest with you, Dwayne. After he did the press conference on Monday, I think it was, I asked him about it, and then there's a few other players in the team room when I asked him, and they're all saying, yeah, it just happens all the time. If they drop a ball or an important part of the game, they'll cop it online. They were pretty cool about it. They're just saying, it's it must be more worrying for the players' families. I find it incredibly difficult to believe that people would revert to such tactics. At the end of the day, it's a sport. And in the day, people are just having a bet, But death threats, whether they're even made up or whatever, I just think the use of social media and is really got to be looked at, in our society, because we're seeing something at the moment with Anthony Seibold, the Brisbane Broncos coach, is getting some terrible rumours about him in social media, which are just totally false. But it's swirling around the social media, so. We're talking about people's well-being and everything else, and I just think social media is one of the greatest threats there. But I think what you're finding with a lot of players, Wayne, is a lot of them now are getting the message, a lot just switching off social media, because it's the only way really to we're not going to stop that type of behaviour. So the best way is just to walk away, which for young people is probably challenging, isn't it? They enjoy social media, so that completely stopped is tough. But I struggle to understand how people can, issue a death threat over a game of football. I just find that incredibly, difficult to comprehend.
Talking to Frank Panisi, football director at the Melbourne Storm for McCafe, barista-made coffee, fast, safe and contact-free. Before I let you go, Frank, you can see the finish line. You can actually see the prize. It's not that far in the distance that you can't see it, but some of the other teams, they're not going to be able to achieve it. So will hub life be a bit more mundane and difficult for them, do you think, in the coming weeks as we close this season down? Are we going to face that in the AFL too, where teams that can't make it are going to drop off a little? What do you think will happen in yours?
No, that's a great question, Dwayne. That's something that's been discussed as a game. And look, I think, answer your question, yes, it will make it more challenging for those players and officials as well that can't make the finals. But we've also got to remember, at the end of the day, it's their income, it's their salary, it's their job. So if they do anything that's going to threaten that, they could be in breach, which threatens their contract, and certainly in terms of a fine. So I think while that's ever hanging over your head, I think that's going to always be a deterrent to to do something outside the protocols. But it will be. But at the end of the day, too, you also hope, besides the financial risks they run and you know, the damage to their reputation, their club's reputation and everything else, is you'd like to think those teams are also playing for some pride for the to finish the season, albeit being an incredibly challenging season for everyone in any code. But you just hope in those two factors we'll get them through to that finishing line.
Great to have a chat, dear Frank. Always enjoyable for me and for those that love their NRL. So we'll talk again next week. Frank Panisi, Football Director of the Melbourne Storm.
Thank you, Dwayne. Mm-hmm.
Joining us for a McCafe barista-made coffee catch-up. Safe, fast, and contact-free. We'll take a break. A few more of your calls after it. Sean Higgins still to come. So plenty still to come on Dwayne's World.
O'Brien Real Estate.